You may wish that you had held that applause until after the sermon. Now, unless we're trying to be mean and nasty, hope is a positive word. I mean, what would you rather have a friend say to you? I hope that you really bomb your finals and your car breaks down and you catch my cold. Or, I hope that you really do well at the end of this semester and you have a wonderful trip and you stay healthy. We talk about our own lives in similar way of being a positive thing, hope, that is. We don't usually say things like, I hope I fall down a flight of stairs. We say things like, no, I hope that my students actually got something out of my class. Or I hope that we're finally done with winter weather. The Bible talks about hope in a positive way. In Romans 5, Paul says that hope does not disappoint. In 1 Corinthians 13, of the big three, faith, hope, and love, he includes hope. In 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul encourages Christians to remain strong in their faith, using in part the hope of salvation. Hope is a positive word. And we see that definitely in the Bible reading that we have before us today from 1 Peter, from the letter of hope. We read from chapter 1, beginning at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he gave us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, into an inheritance that is undying, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Through faith, you are being protected by God's power for the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end of time. Because of this, you rejoice very much, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various kinds of trials, so that the proven character of your faith, which is more valuable than gold, which passes away, even though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, yet by believing in him, you are filled with a joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, because you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is God's word. We have this living hope. We have that hope through a risen Christ. In other words, our hope is living because our Savior is living. We celebrated that not quite a month ago when we celebrated Jesus' resurrection from the dead, showing that he had conquered sin and death, showing that God the Father had accepted his payment for our sins. Ooh, sins. Now that's not a positive word. We don't like to hear about sins. Well, maybe about the sins of other people, but not about our own sins. We don't like to be told, you know when you get upset with God because of the difficulties that you're suffering in your life? You know how when you're going through these tough times, you lash out at the people around you? Yeah, that's sin. Pure and simple. Sin that means you're supposed to spend an eternity in hell. Sin that means you're supposed to die forever. But Peter tells us we have been given a new birth into a living hope. We have life instead of death. Jesus' resurrection from the dead proves that our sins are forgiven. And he says we have an inheritance waiting for us. Now, that's another word that's a positive word, isn't it? Inheritance. We hear that word and maybe the dollar signs start going in our heads and wondering, oh, how rich am I going to be? But this inheritance that we have is far more valuable than any monetary amount, any worldly goods. This inheritance that we have is eternal life. Life right now, but also life forever with God in heaven, living and never dying. And that's really the essence of our living hope that we have through a risen Christ. But one thing that makes it a little bit difficult to believe that we actually have this is that we can't see it. We have this living hope actually through an invisible Christ. Twice in this reading, Peter says that we can't see Jesus. And that makes it a little harder to believe in him, doesn't it? We may be perhaps a little envious of the apostles. They got to follow Jesus around for 3 years, watching him perform miracle after miracle, including raising people from the dead, listening to him preach and teach better than anyone ever had or anyone ever could, and then seeing him after he had risen from the dead. How much easier would it be for you to trust in Jesus, to know that this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, if you could only see him? But don't you see him right now? Maybe I should be more precise. Don't you hear him right now? Yes, every time his word is preached, Jesus is here. Not because I'm any kind of a big deal, phenomenal preacher, but because Jesus is present in his word. Every time that you hear it, Jesus is there. Every time you pass that baptismal font on your way into the chapel, you think of how Jesus came to you in your baptism, in that water, connected with his word, and he made you his own. Every time you partake of his supper, where you eat his body and drink his blood, those things that have been connected to the elements of bread and wine through his word, every time you do that, Jesus is there with you. And on top of that, Jesus promises at the end of Matthew, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And that's part of our faith, part of our trust in Jesus as our Savior, that even though we can't see him, we love him, and he fills us with joy that can't even be described. It's part of what makes our hope living, that we have that through an invisible Christ. We also have that living hope through a returning Christ. That's part of what Peter meant in verse 5 when he talked about the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the end of time. That's part of our hope, looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back to take us to heaven. That's what comforted the disciples right after they watched Jesus ascend into heaven, being taken visibly away from them. Do you remember what the angel told them as they stood there? Men of Galilee, why are you standing here looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you saw him go into heaven. And with that assurance, the disciples were able to move forward with the work that Jesus had given them. As we move forward, as we continue in our life, we know we have to go through some difficult times, some times that will shake our faith, some times that will cause us to doubt that God is actually on our side, times that are going to make it hard to look forward instead of dwelling on the difficulties of the present or perhaps of the past. But keep in mind the ultimate goal, heaven, salvation in the fullest sense of the word, sheer perfection, never having any kind of worries or cares or pains or anxieties or tears. That's what keeps us going. That's what keeps us full of hope. And that's what I want you to think about every time that you hear God's word or hear it preached. Just focus on that hope that comes only from Jesus, that hope that continues to live in you through his word and through his sacraments, that hope that will continue to be with you as you head toward that ultimate goal of heaven, where you will see your Savior face to face. To him alone be the glory. Amen.